Our Freaks Electric, Richard Eccles, Sugar Babes on XFM 104.9, Steve.
Absolutely.
I'm Ricky Gervais, with me Steve Merchant.
Hello.
Carl, the producer. Right. 7 minutes past one of a Saturday, and what a lovely Saturday it is.
It is indeed.
Well, it looks nice and bright, but it's deceptive, because I went out, and I just had a t-shirt on, and I had my jumper on me. I got out there, and I thought, this is chilly. I had to pop the jumper on.
Oh, no.
So, you know, just be careful. If you're just looking out the window thinking, I'll go outside, pop a jumper on or a jacket, because it looks nice, but it is a little bit colder than it looks.
Rick, can I ask, were you wearing the jumper around your waist, tied with a knot, or did you have it over your shoulders? Like, maybe you just jumped off a yacht?
I popped it round my waist, and I'll tell you why. Okay. I tucked my t-shirt in for neatness and comfort.
Lovely.
But I know, even I know that's a little bit dorky, so sure. I was trying to hide the belt line.
Okay, okay.
So, then I popped the jumper on, didn't have to worry about it.
Did
so
you
now
go with the double knot?
I didn't.
Because that can loosen if you're not careful, especially if you're carrying bags or you're busy on the tube.
I know, but I wouldn't mind that, as long as I didn't lose it. As long as I saw it loosen and fall, I'd
okay.
pick it up. And
you'd
then,
be devastated if you
and then
off
clean it. Not in the washing machine though. I'd pop it in a cold wash soak,
okay.
right, and then leave it out on a few towels or something, or pop it over the radiator.
So what's the problem with putting it in a hot wash?
Well, it can cause shrinkage.
Oh no!
So coming up, we've got loads of tunes. We're going to be playing them, some of the best bands around, some new ones, some old ones. Might even play some Adam Ant. We don't know yet.
Let's have Badly Drawn Boy though, shall we, Carl? Current single.
Badly Drawn Boy there, Silent Sigh. Is that the one with the duck?
Yes, very good video.
Apparently he stopped wearing his hat around because he keeps getting recognised. And he's going to not wear his hat when he doesn't want to get recognised.
Okay.
Maybe pop it in the wash.
Mm. So, but be careful, let's just have a kind of a light cold rinse.
Yeah, light cold rinse, soak it, right, because it's woolen, right? Mm. And then just leave it out on a towel. Or, you know, maybe near the immersion heater.
Sure.
Or over a radiator.
What
or even
the radiator, is that a problem?
It can cause that sort of, you know, damaging to the fibres of the wall.
He had a kid last week.
Did he?
Yeah.
Who did?
Badly Drawn Boy.
Oh, right, okay.
Badly Drawn Little Boy, he's going to call it. Money.
Brilliant, Rick.
Yeah.
Well done.
It's a sort of satire.
Mm. I'd like to see that as a headline in a tabloid.
Deliver money, your life. Oh. Now, going on.
Oh,
Carl,
can we explain
panic.
Why that's funny?
Don't panic, Carl. I'm a professional. Don't worry.
What's your concern, Carl?
What's your concern?
Nothing.
Tell us.
No.
You can say.
I can't.
You can.
This is so unprofessional.
It's what? What? What have we done?
What, talking about wool?
Right.
Come on, Carl, what's the problem?
What's the problem?
You say.
He's great and he's
so scared. Come on, Carl, what's tell us?
I don't know all the ins and outs, so I don't want to get into it.
What?
The thing.
No, well, you can't, look, people are perplexed now. What's the thing, Carl?
What's the thing? What are you worried about? Say.
Is it an email? That's been received by the head of XFM?
Yeah, you've got the email open.
You can talk about it, you can say what it is.
Okay,
you know,
let me just say. I don't understand it. Please know that under a ruling at the Old Bailey, any reference to Adam Ant's state of mental illness in any news report will constitute a breach of the ruling and therefore lead to serious action from his lawyers.
That's right, and that's true. Subject we can't talk about that. You can play his records and
sing his classic songs.
Sing songs.
Yeah, it's best just to leave, isn't
it? Yeah, but that's what Carl was a little bit worried. There's no way I was going to mention that or influence anything, and I totally agree with the law. So don't panic, Carl.
That should have never been sent to you.
Why?
Because it's like, you know, accidents happen.
Go on then.
When things like that happen, right, you know, you've been told not to mention it.
Yeah.
And you're like a little kid.
Yeah.
And once things are in your head.
Yeah.
It's difficult not to mention it. I mean, when, when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Go on.
Right.
Yeah.
My mum's sister, Hazel.
Right.
Was seeing another bloke. It's weird because she's a lesbian now. That's really weird.
That must have been an interesting Christmas.
But anyway, she's seen this bloke, and it looked like Ken Dodd, apparently.
He looked like Ken Dodd.
Looked like Ken Dodd. So people said, don't mention it because it gets on his nerves when you like meet him and you go, oh god, you look like Ken Dodd. So I said, all right, his name's Will or whatever, and I was introduced to him. First thing I said, nice to meet you, Ken.
Did you do it as a joke, or did you?
No, because you know when you know, he's like, I'm not allowed to say that. I mustn't say that. And then I saw him, I thought, Jesus, does look like him. came out.
Was it Doddy you turned her into a lesbo, do you think?
Well, he wasn't a good looking bloke, so.
No.
Possibly.
She started going out with Esther Ranson though, which is weird out of the frying pan.
What was the story with the lesbianism then? How did she announce that to everyone? What age was she when she realised?
Well, I mean, we're not a close family, do you know what I mean? We're not a family who keeps in touch with everyone. And I think my mum called her up one Christmas and sort of said, you know, how's
the diddy then?
Yeah, how's Nutty Ash?
And
yeah.
She said, oh no, I'm not, I don't do that anymore. I'm knocking about with Sandra or whatever.
Right.
And it was like, oh right.
Not big butch Sandra with the big earrings and the skinhead. Used to live down the road from you.
I don't know.
Used to get Doc Martens wholesale. That's Sandra.
but she had a haunted house.
Go on.
Who's Sandra?
No, Hazel.
Right. Is this before she was a lesbian or not?
Before.
Okay.
Right. And there was a bike in the hall and the pedals used to go back.
There was a what in the hall?
A bike.
That's handy, isn't it? That's great. Don't worry, we won't do anything.
I want to know about the haunted house. There was a bike in the hall and what
happened? There was a bike in the hall and the pedals used to go backwards on their own. And also, shoes used to stick to the wall or something.
Did they?
Yeah.
Shoes used to stick to the wall?
Yeah.
Okay.
That sounds like a...
That's
a
haunted
household. Yeah. Oh, dear.
Brilliant.
Maybe she should clean the walls.
Oh, look at that. Classic.
Lars, and there she goes. What a great start to a show. We've had 20 minutes of some of the best banter, chatter and music and anecdote anywhere on the dial.
You're damn right. High five.
Yeah.
Sweet man, sweet.
Oh, what are we talking about? I love that track. It's lovely. They've got a bit of the Liverpool gene pool, haven't they? That sort of doddy. You know what I mean? I like the Scouse sort of look, you know, the Cilla Black and the Stan Boardman.
Yeah, it's particularly it's sort unique
of,
to Liverpool.
It's sort of happy in teeth and ears. And,
it's
you know
happy
I mean?
In teeth and ears.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant description.
Yeah.
Happy in teeth and ears.
Yeah, that's just three of my friends.
Yeah.
Now, we've got a great track lined up, haven't we, Carl, that I've brought in? So I'm going to go off. Now, I'm not ashamed. As you know, me and Steve aren't worried about being part of a trend or you know, being trendy or jumping on about it. Steve particularly doesn't worry about, like, looking good or,
well,
you know. No, I'm saying. No, it's a compliment. He doesn't worry about walking along like that or, you know.
Well, I'm looking good.
No. But I'm saying you don't mind the insults freak boy or goggle eye or.
Just water off a duck's back, mate.
Do you know what I mean? Or a new phrase that's been coined because of Steve's phrase, water off a frog's back.
Who's saying that?
Just a lot of you. A lot of friends and that. But I mean.
Well, my friends?
Yeah. A lot of the people.
Can you name names or?
I can't really.
No promises, you can't.
I can't.
You want to
really,
pass anyone out?
I think it's the cagoule.
Looks good.
It does look
it's
good.
It's waterproof, Rick, and it's also stylish. I wear nothing underneath, so it's tight to the skin. It gets sticky in bad weather.
Yeah. Is that why you sort of rustle?
But what's all the. Is there abuse? What's this?
No, they just say.
Because I'm a pretty trendy guy, but I, as you say, I cut my own trend. You know, I make my own style. You know, that consequently, the pipe. You don't feel that's an affectation?
I think because you're young and tall,
yeah.
The pipe looks a little bit silly.
Go on.
I mean, I know you're worried about because we've already lost the trilby.
Well, I'm worried because pipes are going to die out. I mean, this is the problem. There's no young people now who are taking up the pipe as a smoking device.
Is there anyone under the age of, what should we say,
oh, we've said this
25?
Before, and I don't think there was no one. I think there was some nutty old woman who phoned in and said, I smoke a pipe. But yeah. I'm talking about, you know, because years ago it was like an Oxbridge student, you know, you'd be at Cambridge or something, you'd have a lovely pipe, you know, tweed suit, you'd be there studying. That was, you know, and that was the young gen always smoked a pipe, but no one is now. I'll tell you this, in the year 2050, there'll be no pipes. They won't exist.
Well, I think all drugs like nicotine and alcohol will be banned, and we won't be allowed to think our own thoughts. We'll have to live in the sewers, like eating rat burgers.
That's
or something
true
like,
enough,
won't we?
Yeah.
And it will have to download our memories or something.
Oh
probably.
God!
And
I'll be a rebel, Rick. I'll just be down there listening to jazz.
No, you won't. Yeah. You'll just have a little chip in the back, and you'll be going out with a big fat man with a big toga on, and you'll be touching him.
But will I think it's a beautiful woman?
Yeah, you will. Yeah. And I'll be fighting with the Rebel Underground.
No, you won't.
I will.
No.
I will. I'll be dead, won't I?
You'll be dead, yeah.
I'll be dead, yeah.
In 2050, you will.
I'll be dead.
Unless you, because obviously you're becoming quite wealthy now. You're becoming a very rich man, obviously, from all your, you know,
I'll
celebrity endorsements.
I'll have my brain put into a robot.
Exactly.
Made of titanium, and yeah. I'll have it, oh.
Would you be cryogenically frozen if you could do it?
I would, but I'd leave myself out on a towel.
Right.
Never, because if you do it too quickly, there is shrinkage.
You've got to be careful. Did you read in the paper this week? This is true. Apparently, the world's oldest man, who's 113, lives in some little part of Japan.
Sure.
Like, little island in Japan. Mm. But apparently, the world's oldest woman also lives in exactly the same place. Now, I don't know if she's since died, but she lived in the same place as what? Do you not think there's something suspicious going on there? I mean, isn't that a bit eerie to
you? I'm thinking, have you ever seen them together? And have you ever found lipstick in his bag? I think that would be one and the same.
I wonder if it's something like, you know, what brought Godzilla back? There's some kind of, there's some antics over there.
No, there might be, they're sort of like, yeah. Although, just hearing some of Carl's stories about school, there's something going on there where he lives.
Yeah.
Did you say you did live near a sort of nuclear plant or something?
I found out it wasn't a nuclear plant, it was a chemical plant.
My God.
Yeah. Really? And is that really true?
What colour was the tap water in your area?
It was better than it is in London.
Right. Really?
I was talking to someone about this the other day.
Yeah?
water in London's ropey. And I use one of them water filters.
Do you really?
And the guy down in the office was saying it's a waste of time though, because they only work for a couple of water, like you fill your jug twice, and then the water's going through the same muck, isn't it?
That's true enough.
But so if it's not getting through, it's not getting through.
No,
if it's a filter, it doesn't matter, does it?
Still not good, though.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Good point.
So, are you just throwing it away based on what that bloke said?
Did he sell you another one that he had on him?
A better updated model.
Yeah. Did he have a suit and a?
When you say like he works here, was he actually hanging around outside?
Yeah. Did he have a suitcase with lots of these in? Yeah. Oh.
So just go back to insults briefly.
Go on.
You know what saying.
Oh, no, see, that's...
Goofy, that's
no,
not
No, no,
fair.
No, because that's what he said, it's in my head.
What do you mean he said that?
No,
when did he say that?
No, I mean...
When did you call me Goofy?
No, he didn't. Okay. He said about
Baldy.
Once in my head.
Hey,
no,
when it's, come on.
Wait, come off it.
Don't
what,
who's calling me Goofy? No. I'm not even Goofy. Goggle-eyed's fair enough.
Yeah, but you can sort your look out, I can't.
What do you mean I can... How can I sort my look out? I'm not even Goofy, that's not fair.
You've got the proper features.
What?
Just need sorting out a bit. I can't help it if my hair's not good.
I noticed the other day when Carl was sitting on your knee having his picture taken. Yeah. It's a long story, right? Yeah. He's got a completely spherical head. It's slightly too small. I'm not being funny, because, I mean, you know, well, I'm not perfect. But he's got a completely spherical little head. He looks a little bit like a baby Hamburglar. You know Hamburglar off McDonald's?
Sure.
He looks like a little baby Hamburglar. And it's sort of quite put upon. It's
Suzanne thinks I look like that thing in that Dulux advert. You know when the woman pulls the head off that?
That little plasticine morph type.
And then they make a new ad for it. And it's like a little head.
Really?
And that's your girlfriend saying it.
I know. Anyway, listen, let's get back to business here. This is a great track. It's America by Simon and Garfunkel. This is where I started saying we don't care about being trendy and all that. That was it. Strokes, last night, XFM 104.9, we're flying now, 35 minutes into it. No real hiccups, I don't think that.
Not so far.
And that, it's just going really well. My name's Ricky Gervais, with me Steve.
Hello there.
Carl. Alright. Coming up soon, White Van Man, White Van Carl. We ask Carl the questions that the Sun asked someone else.
Exactly.
It's a good feature.
It's a great feature.
I'll be testing Carl on the new re-education of Carl, as you know. He got a GCSE.
It's the last one, isn't it?
In history. It was the last heavy sort of one, yeah.
No.
And so Winston Churchill. Well, yeah, because we're going on to more sort of metaphorical and metaphysical sort of pursuits, aren't we?
Not that book.
Yeah, that's the Aesop's Fables.
I can't read that in a week.
You don't have to read just choose the ones about the foxes eating penguins. You'll like that. Steve, over to you.
Thanks very much. I wonder if I don't think we've made much progress yet on sending Carl into sort of into the air with the.
No, this has gone a bit ballistic. Actually,
I've gone off the idea.
Oh no! Shut up!
No, don't. You haven't gone off
the idea. We've inflamed the imagination of the capital. There's people offering left, right, and centre, and I think it's a good idea. But I think we should you know make a day of it. I think we should send you up in some balloons, right? Maybe. You know.
Well, hang on. Before we carry on, let's explain what happened because people might not have listened last week.
I don't believe that.
There are one or two, Rick.
I don't believe that.
People who were ill, maybe out of the country.
Okay.
Yeah, so last week we discovered, was it that 623, is it 6,000?
No, I read that 6,000 balloons filled with helium can lift a bloke off the floor.
I think that's too many. I think that's too many. I think we could do it for less, certainly.
Well, anyway, listen, there are various organisations which actually exist already that can provide this kind of entertainment, this kind of fun. I mean, I didn't realise there was a whole kind of market for this already, but apparently there
is. Nor did I, no.
Incredible. Anyway, so we're going to try and track one of them down. We're going to see if they can organise it so that you, Carl, can float into the air. We need to get you, is it at least 11 feet up?
Yeah, if it's
and
just
I think certainly higher. I mean, I can't remember what the record is, but it's quite a long way.
11,000.
11,000 feet.
Yeah, right? But I think they're all official. I want to do it with like little those little balloons you get for a quid at the zoo. Or
I don't
somewhere.
Think that can be right, health and safety wise. I don't think that can be healthy.
I think if we get him to sign something, which I will.
Okay.
I think we'll cover ourselves.
But yeah, certainly we're thinking of maybe making it a bit like is it Tea in the Park? The,
yeah.
Capital FM,
yeah,
event,
the big event.
You get sort of Steps, at least H from Steps can come down and host the event.
I mean, I don't mind, comparing it. Steve's gonna do, Steve's learning to sort of like scratch and mix and beat match and he's, I mean, you're getting pretty-
I'm making a lot of progress, yeah.
You are gonna be a turntablist.
Yeah.
Steve never learnt an instrument, which he regrets, you know, and, you know, he's a modern lad. And, he's using turntables as his instrument.
I just got two turntables and a microphone, and so far, seriously, I'm cutting out big style. No, don't laugh, because it is mental, the sort of kind of stuff I'm coming out with. And I'm scratching, I've got the beats, you know, matching.
Can you imagine that?
Shut up, it's that-
No, if-
Look at the Chemical Brothers, for goodness sake, if you're talking about freaks, look at those weirdos! Man alive!
At least you cut your hair at Gavin.
You know that the
whatever it's called.
They used to kind of at least faintly appear in their videos. The recent one is just some shots of like what you see from outside a train. That is more glamorous and exciting, apparently, than seeing the lads themselves in the video.
Who do you think's cooler to look at, Steve or the Chemical Brothers?
Steve.
Definitely, yes! You're absolutely right, Carl, and that's the first sensible thing you've said for a long time.
If I was to work with Steve on some music, if I had the choice, I think Steve would look better on a album cover.
Really?
Yeah.
What would you do? Would you change him at all? What would you do with his image?
I'd put him in the distance, so
I can't believe this is- this
No,
is
just so you don't look as tall, that's doing you a favour.
You know, I was on the- this is true, I was on the, on the tube, right, coming in to meet Gervais the other day, and I was wearing a suit, and my mobile phone slipped out of my pocket, and it landed on the seat, and I didn't realise this, and as I was about to get off, some bloke who was sat there like an old guy, he picked up the phone, he went, "Oi! Lanky, you dropped your mobile phone." And I was like, well, I thank you for pointing out I dropped my phone, but did you have to do the lanky?
But you knew who he meant. I bet you turned round straight away. It worked.
He knew he meant, Steve. Yeah, but he's done you again.
But I was the only person stood up. It was a fairly empty train.
Was there any other lanky people there?
No.
Well then.
No, but my point was there was no one else at all who was about to exit the train.
Okay, so he didn't need lanky.
He could have got excuse me, sir, or oi you, anything, but oi lanky.
I know.
It's that thing though, isn't it? That's what I'm talking about. You say the thing that you don't want to say. It's like me with Ken Dodd and Will.
I think he wanted to say this.
Oh well.
I think he took pleasure in it.
I think he went, "That bloke's lanky. I shouldn't say that." Yeah, I should. Oi, lanky.
What's he gonna
do? Yeah. Do you want your phone back or not?
But this balloon thing anyway, it's got a bit out of hand.
Why has it got out of hand? What are you
worried
about?
No, it's funny. I want to sort of like tie them all to the back of your belt. So as you go up there, you sort of tip forward slightly, so you're going up slightly upside down.
We could paint some advertising on your bald head.
On your, oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, we'll do that, lanky.
That'd be great.
Here he comes.
No, I mean, last week it was just a bit of fun about going like, just lifting my feet off the ground.
No.
And that's a big difference to what it's got now.
No, okay, well, I'll tell you what, we'll do 100 feet in the air, and I'll hold on to the rope.
But we'll do it at Wembley Arena, and we'll sell tickets. But it'll be for charity, Carl.
No, it'll be for charity.
No, we'll have lots of underprivileged kids coming along to see
it's
it, you
just
know.
Out of hand. It's like, you know, I like karaoke, but I wouldn't want to go on Stars in Their Eyes.
Sure.
And it's got out of hand, that's how it's sort of, it's grown too big, I don't
Who
like
Who would you
it.
Do if you were on Stars and Rally?
I'd do that,
Moby?
That Jack the Knife song. I love
Jack
that.
The Knife.
Old Mac Heathy. That one, yeah?
Is Mac the Knife?
That's what I do.
But who
he'd do a hip-hop version.
But which of the many singers would you impersonate? You can't, it's not the song, is it? It's the singer.
You could do, Jimmy Somerville, I think. Quite well.
Yeah, Somerville you'd be good at.
Moby. Did Morph bring out a single?
I don't think Morph did.
Didn't he?
No, I'm not sure.
I'm sure, didn't he have a theme tune? Did Morph? Phone in if you think Morph.
Morph didn't speak, Rick. Let him sing.
Morph hardly had any features.
True.
Right.
Express 2 featuring David Byrne, Lazy, XFM 104.9. 1:45, I'm Ricky Gervais, Steve's got the sun.
Yes, I'm just
gonna, we're just
going
to be doing
Colin.
White Van Carl, where we ask Carl the questions the sun asked some other bloke.
That's right.
Because we think Carl's got more to say than anyone on anything. Carl only tells the truth, by the way. Just Remember that, listeners. Off you go.
Yes, well, today's white van man in the sun is John Slade. He owns his own door maintenance company. his answers are very informative, I have to say. But, Carl, what do you make of the Channel 4 producer, aged 30, who duped a school into believing he was a teenager for a documentary? Are you familiar with this story?
No, go on.
Well, basically, a 30-year-old guy kind of fooled the school into thinking he was a pupil for a secret documentary. The school's outraged. Do you think that that's, you know, for you, you know, should anything go when it comes to making TV?
I think I've said to you before, there's loads of kids at my school. I remember being in the first year, and kids who, what year do schools go up to? I was in the first year, what is it?
11?
5?
Oh, sorry, first year of infants and juniors.
No, secondary school.
11?
Right, year 11. Kids have beards and
no,
stuff.
No, not year 11. They're 11 when they first go to secondary school.
Right. Well, I'm 11. The kids at the older end.
Well, there's a fifth form, and then there's
when you're 16, I think, can't you now?
Right. Well, kids who were 16
looked
old. They did have beards. I remember going there and thinking some of them were teachers.
I think he's answered that. Next one. What's the next one?
Tattoos and everything. Kids in the earlier years, even.
What do you make of the fact that Mariah Carey's £38 million payoff has cost EMI staff their jobs, and we're talking 1,800 EMI staff who have lost their jobs.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean,
is that silly money, Mariah Carey, on 38 million?
She doesn't need that much.
She doesn't need that much. She has to dress nice, though.
It's not her fault. I'd say, it's bad business.
Okay.
Because, EMI, did you say?
Yes.
Right. They've got rid of them staff.
Yeah.
Mariah Carey's left. Who's going to do the work?
do you think Mariah should come back and do some temping?
Well, they should have got a loan and paid her.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Vicious circle, that.
Right.
Have you done a business degree or anything?
Commerce.
You did commerce. Yeah. Where did you do that? What did you do with that?
School. I'd learn how to fill out a cheque, pay a bill, and I think I had a trip round Kellogg's.
Did you get an O level or a GCSE?
We know he didn't.
You know.
But was there a commerce exam or was it just a division of maths?
What did he fill out a check?
It was a subset of maths.
It was an option. It was like if you want to do it, you can.
What was it? Fill out a check, pay a bill,
have a visit round Kellogg's.
I went down Kellogg's and I saw my sister's boyfriend there at the time. He sorted me out with some variety packs.
Really? What was in them?
You know, Rice Krispies and
good stuff.
Cocoa Pops.
Space dust or whatever it is.
Space dust.
So, sorry, that wasn't Ken Dodd, though.
No.
That was someone else, wasn't it? That was an aunt.
Yeah. That wasn't Special K. Oh, dear.
What about this, then? Home Secretary David Blunkett admits that muggers rule some streets.
Weird, this. Because when I was out with you...
I don't believe it's going to be weird, whatever you say,
no,
Carl.
When we were in that pub that night and we got talking about muggers and that, the tip is, what I tend to do, because I nearly got mugged once...
You nearly got mugged once.
I nearly got mugged.
Yeah.
But I tried this technique of acting a bit mental.
Right, and how did you act mental?
Well, this guy wanted me trainers. And I was in Piccadilly Gardens in Manchester. It was quite late one night.
Mm-hmm.
And he come up, he said, I want them trainers. I said, you want them? I said, I worked hard for these. He said, how dare you come to me asking? And I got a bit livid. And I He looked at me like, oh my God, he's got a right one here, and he left me.
Were you acting mental, or were you just mental?
No, I put it on a bit.
Were you not petrified, though?
Well, you don't think about it, do you, when you're sort of in the eyes of danger?
Well, not you, clearly you're a brave man. So what did you say?
I just went a bit mad. I just kind of, because he said he wanted the trainers, and they were dear ones at the time. And I just said, no, you're not having these. So I've crafted. I said I wanted these trainers,
yeah.
And you know, went on to tell him how I work at printers and I don't enjoy it, and you know, I put in all these hours and that, and I have to cycle home for about 5 miles. And
did he give you his trainers?
Yeah.
Did he have a knife?
I just left. No, it didn't get that. Didn't get that violent.
Well, that's very brave of you, Carl.
Yeah, it's
that's
good.
Good advice, though. Just act mental.
See, what's it? Should he tried it the other night?
Oh, Liza Minnelli.
Yeah.
Well, she says I've worked hard for these diamonds. Yeah. It's not easy being the daughter of Judy Garland. You don't know what it's like.
Finally, apparently, there was a crook that got a security job at Heathrow. Right? He was a crook and he got a job at Heathrow. As robbers steal another £2 million. Apparently security down there is lax.
Yeah.
Is that a concern for you?
Is this another...
Yeah.
£2 million?
Yeah.
why is all this money at the airport?
It's those sandwich shops. You know how they're really expensive, the sandwiches, in like, when you're in a plane? They're like £2.50 for tuna, which is ludicrous.
Yeah.
That's basically the reason.
What do you mean, why is all this money at airports?
What is it doing there?
Why is Have a go answering this yourself. Why is anything at an airport?
It's going somewhere.
Or coming in from somewhere.
Yeah, but money, you can sort it out through the bank, like phone banks and that.
Have you done commerce? You know a lot about paying bills and writing out checks. Yeah.
Tell us about Kellogg's.
What was it like? What was in the factory? Was it just like squashing bits of corn?
And pretty boring, really. Just loads of conveyor belts, boxes of cornflakes everywhere. Just what you imagine.
Yeah.
So was it more, this is where you might be working? This is where you're likely to work?
Possibly. There was two trips. There was that and a trip to Manchester Evening News.
Okay.
And I left that early because I had a job in Cordon Bleu.
In Kellogg's.
Cordon Bleu, what's that?
It's like a supermarket.
Yeah?
And I had to leave the trip early and the teacher went mad saying they thought I'd got lost on the, you know, in the building and stuff.
What, you didn't tell anyone?
No, because it was like day two of working in this supermarket and I couldn't be late. I thought by the time I explain where I've got to go and everything, I'll be even later.
Sure.
So I just left, and then apparently they were searching the building and everything for me.
How old were you?
Stuck in a printer. Don't know.
Stuck in a printer?
I don't know.
What was the printer's name?
You worked at a supermarket called Cordon Bleu.
Yeah. Cordon Bleu! That
brilliant.
That's great, isn't it?
It's rubbish.
Oh.
Got sacked.
What did you get sacked for?
Messing about in a, back in the car park round the back.
Yeah.
Right, there was a grid, and all the concrete had gone funny, so when it rained, you got like a big lake.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And I got in, do you know those big metal trolleys you get to like put all the food in while she's
doing it? Oh, yeah.
And I got in one of them and pushed myself out into this lake.
Of cement?
No,
of
right,
water.
It was full of water because it'd been raining. Right. And I got stuck in the middle, right? And the boss was like, where's Carl? He's meant to be doing, you know, facing up the beans.
I was like, and you were stranded in a lake.
So someone said, oh, I saw him messing about out the back. He came out and saw me stuck in the middle of this lake in like in a trolley. And he said, get back in. I said,
would you say, no, I'm filming sharks.
I said, I'm, it's too deep. I can't get out. You'll have to pass me something. And he said, I'm not passing you nothing. He said, you can get out of there and walk through it. I said, I'm not. I've got my trainers on. Probably the same ones.
Yeah, you've risked your life for them.
Yeah. I said, I'm not getting these wet. I said, he said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to wait for the water to go down the grid. He said, the grid's blocked. Now get out or you're sacked. I said, well, I'm not getting out. He said, right, you're sacked.
So you were sacked. How long did you have to wait for the water to go down the grid?
In the end, I did get bored and I sort of did a bit of a leap and a jump and got 1 foot wet.
How long were you waiting?
Maybe about half an hour.
Just think of it. I mean, how did he get himself into that situation? That's fantastic. Should we play a record?
Oh, definitely, definitely. That's a joy. Oh, you're an absolute pleasure. More White Van Man next time on the show. Electric Soft Parade. I keep trying to get the album for free from you, Carl. You've not sorted me out yet. I have to rely on other people to give me different copies.
No, I did try. I'll keep trying.
Please do. This is one called There's a Silence, Electric Soft Parade.
Gomez and Shot Shot on XFM 101.9. Sorry, I was going to tell Steve something. Talk amongst yourselves. When you were out there, Johnny Mango phoned up and said to Carl, come on, when are we going to do this thing? And Carl got all nervous. Right, and he went, you don't want to do it, do you? He said, well, it's going to get out of hand. I just wanted to go as high as a tree. And he went, well, you can. I'll hold you down with a rope. He went, yeah, but he said, but when the crowd are there and they're all screaming higher, higher, I'll feel the pressure and have to go along with it. Then what crowd? What crowd is this? Higher. No, higher.
We don't live in a medieval era. There's not going to be dancing bears and tumbling midgets. Well, I don't know, that's an idea.
Well, hold on. If there's anyone got any of those.
Tumbling midgets would be amazing.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Less balloons, cheaper to do.
Oh, you're going
no,
up.
No, you're going up with them. No, you're going up with them. Not just, no.
With a midget under either arm. Brilliant.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Oh, it's time for your, the re-education of Carl Pilkington. This week Carl was studying, the life and times of Winston Churchill. What did you make of it, Carl? What did Churchill do for
right,
you?
Well, last week I made a bit of an error with Hitler.
Yeah, you just
tried to remember too much and it was way too much for me.
Sure.
So what I've done this week, sort of flicked through, got a few of the basic facts.
Yeah.
And what I've learned, right, bit weird the way all these people have something in common that they're all a bit weird when they're younger.
Okay.
They've got some sort of illness.
Go on.
Well, you know, Rasputin, he wasn't well as a kid.
Yep.
Che Guevara.
Oh, was this is Rasputin, the mad monk, wasn't well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Che Guevara.
Yep.
Asthma. Asthma, really bad asthma.
Mm.
Yep. Hitler. He was
only
a bit mental.
Yeah.
Only one. His mother.
He
got
was what, a bit mental. That could be libelous.
Yeah.
And who've we done? And Churchill.
Yeah.
Very weak child.
Was he?
He only spoke to his dad 4 times in his whole lifetime.
Really?
Yeah. Didn't get on with his dad.
Right.
And I think one of the times when his dad spoke to him, he was having a go, saying he didn't do as well in the army as he wanted him to.
Right.
So that's pretty sad bit I picked up of it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So that spurred him on anyway.
Yeah. I'm not going in all the ins and outs. Very important bloke.
Okay.
No, seriously. I mean, your dad bought the tapes, didn't he?
Yes.
And I can understand why, because he did change a lot for us. You know what I mean? We wouldn't be sat here now talking like this.
Why?
We could have been German.
Yep.
He didn't let that happen.
No.
Everyone had a go at him, right? When I think it was Chamberlain who was in power,
yeah.
And he was like saying, "Don't be trusting that Hitler."
Yeah.
You know, and everyone was like, "Look, stop causing trouble." Chamberlain sorted it out. You know, he sorted out a peace agreement.
Yeah.
And he was like, "No, I don't trust him." And everyone's like, "Oh, you know, you're just causing trouble." You know, everyone else is happy. Then it turned out that Hitler did actually do the dirty.
Yeah.
And try and come over.
I remember he did, didn't he? Do something, started a war or something.
There was a conflict of some kind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Started a problem. Mm. And everyone went, hang on a minute, that Churchill knew what he was talking about.
Yeah.
Get him back in charge.
Sure.
And they got him in, and Hitler was scared of him because he knew that he wasn't going to be having any lies or anything. He couldn't try it on with Churchill.
Yeah. And, especially when he was a little bit pissed up and coked and with a big cigar. Churchill.
He wasn't doing that.
I think a lot were during the war, in the war cabinet. I think they had to have things to keep him awake all night and stuff, and he certainly liked a brandy.
Rick, Winston Churchill was coked up, was he? I mean, sorry, this is something I wasn't aware of.
If there are any historians listening, if I'm wrong, I'm
very sorry.
Was
that in the World at War?
No, I don't think so. Any historians or you know, experts on war, did Churchill and not some of the other people during I think the First and Second World War take a little bit of cocaine.
So when it said that Hitler,
doctors certainly used to.
Hitler liked cakes. Would they be like the funny sort of cakes?
No, he probably did like a little bit of Madeira cake.
Right.
Yeah, there's probably nothing like. Sorry, carry on.
So anyway,
he beat the Bosch.
Yeah, did all.
Oh, that's steady on. His personal life's nothing to do with it.
And the most amazing bit is right. He wasn't fit, and he had a couple of strokes.
Well, he's a good-looking bloke in many ways.
He had a couple of strokes, but he had a stroke on, say...
We've had that. He beat the Bosch. He likes to have a couple of strokes. Yeah. Let's not get into innuendo, Carl. It's stupid.
Right, say he had, like, a stroke on a Tuesday. he was up and fighting again on a Wednesday.
Really?
He was a strong bloke.
Yeah.
And then he died at about the age of 86 or something.
He's a good lad, wasn't he?
He was really good.
Yeah.
Is he the one you favour most of all?
I mean, Rasputin. I don't understand why he got. Like I said, I don't know why they made a book on him.
No.
No.
He just didn't deserve it.
No.
Che Guevara, you know, he had his time, I suppose, and did a bit good for certain people.
Sure.
Sorted Cuba out.
Yep.
Doesn't really affect me.
No.
Hitler, I mean, enough said.
Yeah.
Bad bloke. Churchill sorted it all out.
Yeah.
And like
so your favourite out of the four of them, of those four, is Churchill.
Churchill, yeah.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
I agree. I agree with you, I think.
What I love with your kind of sort of summary of these people's incredible lives is the way that it's almost like, I remember in Lookin magazine, I don't remember Lookin, it was the Junior TV Times.
Looking, yeah.
They used to have half a page, which was a comic strip, summarising someone's life. You might have, say, Five Star, the story of Five Star.
Yeah.
And he'd have a picture. I always remember the Roger Moore one was a picture of, like, Roger's parents. It was like, Roger Moore was born in 1930, da da da. Picture of Roger's parents. Roger grew up during the war. Picture of Roger running down the street, right, dressed as a school kid, with a Spitfire coming behind him like he was going to try and shoot him.
Mr. Smith, surely.
Exactly, Mr. Smith, yeah. Roger took up acting. Picture of Roger, like, acting.
Yeah.
Roger became James Bond. James Bond. Roger's now a popular, you know, star in his own right, and does a lot of work for charity. Brilliant. It summed up the whole thing in kind of
used to have that in, one of the TV Times or the
Sun.
I remember sort of when it was, Tina Turner, what's it, Born Sarah May Bullock, then it was Nutbush City Limits, stop hitting me, Ike. Yeah. And then, you're simply the best, and that was it.
That's very much what the, how your summary of great events is.
But I'd say if you didn't know about Churchill, you've learned a bit today.
Can people call in, all these fellas taking cocaine? I think I'm right. It's 08-700-800-1234.
Yeah.
Give us a call, XFM 104.9.
Did Winston Churchill and various other dignitaries take coke during the war?
During the war, saying up for the war effort, but emergency summits and meetings. I think it's been documented. I could be wrong. And let me tell you now, it's not happening today.
Wow.
Pete, you're on there.
He's there, isn't he, to save me. For Nancy, XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais, with me Steve Merchant and Carfield. I'm getting excited now because we've had loads of calls and emails. Not only backing me up, but going a little bit further. Apparently, Johnny Mango called in again. He's become our sort of official researcher on this show. There is evidence that Queen Victoria in Balmoral, with a young house guest, Winston Churchill, used to consume cocaine-filled lozenges. Mm. So, there you go. Also, MDMA was a precursor of sort of ecstasy, a derivative, and that was big in the day, giving soldiers, you know, a little pick-me-up. So, it's not so mad, is it?
It sort Winston of makes Churchill sense, because he was into his speeches and that, and they say that coke gives you sort of... you know, the balls to stand up and say, like...
Not that that's a good thing.
And no, it's not.
No.
Definitely not.
No.
Right? But it apparently it makes you confident, doesn't it? So you can stand up and say, you know, we're going to fight them on the beaches.
Yeah.
And all that. And sound yeah. like you mean it.
Exactly, yeah. When he was sort of like, you know, a little bit pissed up with his cigar on, coked off his tits, he wanted a fight. He didn't care where it was. He'd fight on a beach. He didn't care. He didn't care if he got sand in his new trainers.
Exactly. He was boomed up.
Yeah. You want to fight. yeah. That's why he was coming hard.
He was very much, you've got to think of him as the Liam Gallagher of his day.
yeah. Oh, dear.
Are we allowed to talk about this? I mean, I don't mean in terms of referencing drugs, but are we allowed to, is this like libelous to Winston Churchill?
You can't libel the dead.
Yeah, but
in
America?
I'm asking, and we're not saying, you know, I think you'd probably going to do a fair comment. Three, we say we were joking. Yeah. Four, it's a satire.
yeah. Five, we love him.
Five, we're not condoning drugs in any way.
Six, this is Dermot O'Leary's show.
I didn't have a go at him anyway. I said he's alright. If there's any law against Rasputin, we might be in trouble.
law against you did willfully Rasputin.
yeah.
All over
you
the airwaves.
You did slag off Russia's greatest love machine.
yeah. You didn't shoot him till he was dead, did you?
Oh.
Oh, put some poison into his
wine. I'll tell you this, if there's any other historical questions that people want answered, then we're the men. Because really, with the three of us, our knowledge of the fact that the Hindenburg was filled with helium. the kind of coke habits and various drug habits of Britain's most famous political leader.
Yeah.
We've got the answers to all of it.
Einstein.
Go on.
I found out in the week that he didn't talk till he was six. See, it's all these people who are weird.
Churchill couldn't read, could he, till he was about eight or nine.
Really?
Yeah. There you go. He had he got a D in history, apparently, GCSE. Just one better. No, but Carl called me in the week and he was a little bit stressed because he's had a bad week now. He got stressed about Hitler and Churchill, and I said, well, we're chill out a little bit and I'll teach him something a little bit cosier. And I said, like, what about animals? No, you know, not frightening other animals. You're interested in animals, aren't you?
Yeah.
You know, and he went, oh, all right then. And then he went, okay, here's a question for you, Heather. So there's three animals without ears. He said, and I've told you one. And I went, well, that's the snake, because he was talking about the snake. I went, hold on, Carl, there's loads of animals without ears. He went, there's not, there's three. I went, there's loads. I said, jellyfish, worms, single-cell protozoa, periphera, but he went, oh, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Animals, proper animals. I went, they are animals. He went, no, proper animals. And I went, do you mean mammals? He went, what are you on about? I said, are these animals, have they got legs, and are they fur-bearing, right? And he went, one is. They've got legs on. I went, I don't know, I give up. He went, right, the turtle. I went, right, yeah. And he went,
and the bumblebee. He said, that's the one with fur. That's the one with fur. The one what are you thinking? What is in your head, Carl?
Which has got the most fur, a bee or a turtle?
It's not fur.
What is it?
Well, it's, you know.
He's done you there, Jimmy.
It's pseudo hairs, isn't it? It's like, it's a hair, it's a keratin thing. It's not like we have, like mammals grow fur. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's not convinced.
When we say mammals are warm-blooded creatures.
Yeah.
Often, usually placental, there's a few exceptions, right? That give their milk to their young, nurture their young, and they have fur.
Have you heard about oysters? Oysters. They're 1 minute they're a man, then they're a woman, then they're a man again.
Like Eddie Izzard. Now that's libelous. He's a transvestite, could I say. He's not a transsexual. Let's say that straight away. I'm retracting that.
Right, go on then. Give us some more facts.
No, I've got you Aesop's Fables.
No, but you had some more facts you told me that were dead good. I just wondered if Steve knew them.
What? What do you want to know?
The ones that you read out to me. You had one about the spiky thing.
Go on.
Porcupine.
Give me a clue.
How many spikes has a porcupine got?
Don't know.
How many was it?
I think it was about 10,000. But these aren't the most interesting facts, are they?
It's alright.
It's alright though, isn't it? Yeah. And he went, but how can they say that? You could say that, you know, we've got a certain amount of hairs in our head. I went 100,000 average. He went, yeah, but I haven't. So how do we know that porcupine that they've counted is the same for all of them?
Might have had alopecia.
yeah, he might have been a particularly hairy one. You know what I mean? Right, you've got do you know what a fable is? I tried to explain briefly. Do you know what a fable is?
I've got a rough idea.
Okay, it's a thing that uses sort of metaphor, analogy, just to explain sort of morals. I mean, they're very old for a start. And it's all I'll give you an example of one. A quick one. Oh, the one about the dog with two bones. He goes to a dog's got a bone, he sees a reflection in the lake, and he thinks, oh, that dog's got a nice bone. I'll have that. And as he goes to get that one, in the reflection, he drops the one he's got, and that's one about, you know.
I think I was told one when I was younger.
Go on.
I think it was one. This young lad. He's got a dog, right, and he sort of is about 8 years old, and this dog, he's had it since he was about four, and it's a bit tired now, and he chucks sticks for it, and it doesn't go for it, and he's saying to his mum, oh, I want a new dog, because this one's useless, it doesn't do what, you know, it doesn't have any fun with me. So they say, oh, no, but, you know, Rover's a good little dog, you should look after it, and he's like, oh, I don't like it, I want a new one. So they buy him a new puppy. And it's running around, yapping about, and he's loving it, and he's playing around with it in the grass. And then one day he goes to the park, and he's messing about and rolling about with it, and he falls into the lake, right? And the little puppy's, like, yapping at him, and he's going, help me, help me, and the little dog's yapping. And then the old dog comes and gets his collar, and it pulls him out of the lake, and he goes, oh, God, you know, why did I forget about you? You're the better dog. And he loved that one again rather than the puppy.
I've got a feeling that was Lassie.
Well, yeah, that was an episode of Lassie. What's the moral? What's the moral there, Carl? What's that telling? What's that explaining through analogy?
Sort of, don't forget the old.
Look after old people. I remember there was one I heard once about a young boy who got trapped in a lake. Inside a cage.
But he loved his trainers so much.
He loved his trainers so much he wasn't going to get them wet. And
even though he thought that was the important thing because it's material value, he actually drowned. And the trainers were no good to him then.
Star Sailor.
Hives, hate to say, I told you so. Now I want to clear a couple of things up. Obviously, me and Steve, we love Carl. This is the things we give Carl to read and talk about is not to embarrass him or stress him out at all. We genuinely like his view of the world.
Yep.
In fact, we did an interview yesterday with a bloke from the Standard who really liked the show and said, do you like Carl? Because you take the piss out of him a lot. And, you know, we just like to say, we love Carl. I said to that bloke, I said, it's like I've got a new kitten. I can't wait to get in and see his little face. On Saturdays, didn't I?
Yes.
And, I think,
I'm worried, because I thought I'd give Carl something he was really getting his teeth into with these Aesop fables. It involves animals and, you know, little stories. But I've given him a couple and he doesn't seem to be that impressed or understand the concept.
It's just
of what.
You said you'd bring in an animal fact book as well, and I can't see that anywhere.
No. Well, you can only read one book at a time, can't you?
Why didn't you bring the other one in first?
Well, it's big. I've got to work my way up to it. Sometimes I'll probably have to get a cab, because it's a bit big. Now listen, I'll give this one. This is an easy one. Now just think, right? Think just what it means. They're not that hidden. They're not that cryptic. Just think what this means, okay? Okay. When the Hares addressed a public meeting and claimed that all should have fair shares, the Lions answered, "A good speech, hairy feet, but it lacks claws and teeth such as we have."
How would you use that?
No. What do you think that means? This translated from the, I don't know, Greek or something, I don't know. It was Aesop. Where's he from?
Greek.
Yeah. So, should I do it in my own language? Okay, so what would happen if there's hares, and they have a meeting in the jungle with, like, loads of lions, and go, "Hey, hold on, wait a minute, I think we should all be equal and share everything, alright?" And the lions go, "Well, yeah, it's easy for you to say, we've got claws and teeth."
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It's saying, like, of course the hares want that, because it's better for them. The lions get nothing out of it, because they're already king of the jungle.
That's right. So it's negotiating from weakness. Anyone can negotiate from strength, but negotiating from weakness is your, it's be lovely. It's a lovely utopian look at the animal kingdom.
But the way you said it is better than the way they worded it.
but that's because Ricky's very much the modern Aesop. I mean, many people have thought that. You know, that's why he's getting a lot of awards with the TV show. For him, that's a favourite.
So look, hey, I'll take that home, read ones you like, and tell me about the ones you like, ones that click. I don't care if you only come in with, like, one or two. Go, "I'll tell you what, Rick, that's a mate, that there's one thing that I've learnt from that." You know, because sometimes you can know all these phrases, and until something happens, you don't think, you know, everyone's heard, you know, to, I don't know, to err is human, to forgive divine. But, and then some, you know, might happen, do you go, "Oh, that's what that means, that's amazing." So, you know.
Do you know any, Steve, I found?
Wait, what's that?
A fable.
Well, I would imagine that the most famous one I've always remembered is the, you know, the lion with the thing in its hoof. Do you remember that?
Paw.
The lion, yeah, with the spike in its paw, and a smaller animal gets it out for it, but it still attacks it anyway.
Well, that's life, isn't it?
Well. I read one the other day, actually, which was very interesting. It was one that the famous film director Orson Welles said.
Oh, yeah.
Which he said, apparently there was a bear going across a lake, wading through the lake, and a scorpion said, "Well, let me go on your back, will you? Come on, just let me go on your back, we'll go across, it'd be brilliant." He goes, "Well, no, you'll just sting me." He goes, "Don't be stupid, if I sting you, you'll die, and we'll both drown." And he goes, "Oh, fair enough."
Who was doing the stinging?
The scorpion.
The scorpion.
Right, okay. Yeah.
And the bear's wading through the water.
Yeah.
So the scorpion jumps on the back, and they wade through the water, and halfway across, the scorpion stings the bear. And the bear goes, "Well, we're both going to die now." He goes, "Yeah, it's my nature."
I thought he was going to say, "I can swim."
Oh, you're the best.
What's the one about,
Does that mean anything to you? It's my nature, i.e., you know, that's my nature.
That's the way it is.
That's what I do, yeah. I'm a scorpion. Yeah. One of my favourite ones.
These don't mean anything to you, do they? I mean, what I'm saying is you're not impressed by them.
They're alright.
What about this? What about this one?
Why not just say, "Don't trust bears"?
Here's one of my favourites. What?
He said, "Well, why not just say, don't trust bears?"
the bear's the one that was too trustworthy. Don't trust scorpions.
Yeah.
Right, here's one of my favourite ones of all time, okay? A lion is dying, he's an old lion, he's in the front of his cave, and all the animals come around, like the foxes and the hyenas and the rabbits, and they're all taking the piss out of him, and they're laughing at him, and they're laughing and going, "You can't fight us now," kind of, and just before he dies, he goes, "Fine, but I was a lion once." What does that mean?
Don't know.
Well, he's saying it's better to have lived and had what I had, because I was great, if only for a short time. And you lot are still alive, but you're nothing. You're rabbits and hares. I was a lion once, so you know. I'm
are they
happy.
Always using animals for these stories?
Well, yeah, I could. Change it to refrigerators and household appliances if it would make it help, but animals, you know.
I remember the one about being ill a lot, and you say something about,
Go on.
You know, if you keep doing that, if you keep having time off, I won't believe you.
That's the boy who cried wolf. Is that right? Yeah. Do you know that one?
Have you heard the famous one? This is possibly the most powerful one. When you're pulling a face, and they say, well, if you keep doing that, the wind changes.
I've heard that.
Like that. Because you know that's scientifically proven.
That is.
That can happen.
That can happen.
Should we have hip hop hooray? Yeah. Are you queued up for that?
No, but go on, you,
Carl, sort it out, mate.
I was gonna...
No, come on, this is what I asked you to play, mate. If you've not, you know, you're getting too big for your boots now with your showbiz lifestyle. You're not paying attention, are you? You're not playing the record if you want you to play.
Heat magazine's favourite.
Yeah. Okay, so,
I've dropped that.
That's clumsy.
Oh.
You know, you're, you know, with the big
I can't believe you're not... Oh. Fables are great.
He's not impressed, is he, Rick?
No, I am. I mean, you know, once I get to take this book home tonight and that, and have a read, I might change my mind on them next week.
You're coming all stressed.
I'm not impressed with the ones you've been talking about, I must admit.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, this album is by this group Nerd, who are big hip-hop and R&B producers in the States.
Yeah.
We've played a track from them in the past, Bobby James. This album's been re-recorded, I don't know why exactly, with live instruments. You don't get many R&B and hip-hop records now with live instruments, so it's pretty...
It's all computers, isn't it, Steve, these days, and drum machines.
And there is a forthcoming single. I suspect it might be this track, Rockstar. I'm not going to play that. I'm going to play a track two, Things Are Gonna Get Better.
New order, here to stay. Sadly, we're not here to stay, Steve. We've only got about 2 more minutes.
That's true enough.
Yeah?
Well, I think that's just time for some interesting facts that Johnny Mango, our researcher from loosecontrol.com, has emailed us. A few familiar ones, favourite ones of yours, I think.
Any ones I don't know, though?
I think you know this one, don't you? A pig's orgasm lasts for 30 minutes.
I know. And a pig can't actually look directly up. Wouldn't
it thought
so after 30 minutes of coming.
No, absolutely.
Daddy, be careful here.
That's incredible.
Remember what happened to Tom Binns? Go on.
Humans and dolphins are the only species that have sex for pleasure.
Bonobos do as well, they've rediscovered.
Bonobo?
A chimpanzee, like a chimpanzee.
Right.
So, yeah. So it's three now.
Can't believe dolphins are getting
more. They're all at it now. Dolphins get one.
Polar bears are left-handed.
Yeah. True.
I don't quite know how they work that out. Did they give them spelling tests? Writing tests.
Oh yeah, they probably just do it. It's probably the paw they use to hide up the black nose during a hunt.
Of course, of course. Some lions mate over 50 times a day.
Yeah, not every day of the year.
Okay, they don't do that every day.
No.
Okay, because again, I'm worried.
No.
They start, you know, I didn't think that dolphins.
What day of the year do you do it 50 times? It's coming up to it. It's April, isn't it? You'd like to get out there.
I have a special day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we could coincide that with the balloon event. It'll just be me quietly humping in the corner. Volunteers, welcome to email now, you know. all the proceeds go to charity.
If you are a desperate lioness.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Butterflies taste with their feet.
I didn't know that.
Interesting.
I didn't know that.
That is interesting.
But they don't eat much, do they? Because they only live a day.
Good point.
They wouldn't need to eat.
An ostrich's eye is bigger than its brain.
Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah.
That's extraordinary.
That is, yeah.
And the,
But Carl, how big are your eyes?
Cruel. Finally, I think we've discussed this before, haven't we? A cockroach will live 9 days without its head before it starves to death.
Yeah, that's only because it can't get water and food. Yeah, it would be quite happy going around doing its normal things.
Yeah.
I mean,
probably to work.
If you're just as good without your head as with your head.
May as well not have a head.
I don't see the point. Well, that was thanks to Johnny Mangler there of, what's his website called? Who's turned into a sort of, volunteered, researcher.
Yeah.
He's very fast.
Loosecontrol.com. Can I just say as well, we've had lots of emails from different people just saying they enjoyed the show and offering little tidbits and things. Nick Wilson, Sarah and Lauren, Ken, Dan, Jane, she wanted some Ash, we didn't play Ash, never mind. Oh. Lee, Jez, Derry, there's loads of people there.
Well, I'm gonna, again, we were talking earlier about, you know, you not caring about being like a geek or a freak or not trendy. No, I'm just saying.
I am trendy, yeah.
And I know, yeah. And, I'm gonna play a bit of an easy listening. I apologise to those people who still tune in expect to, hear 2 hours of new metal or Gorillaz. And this is, a very old-fashioned, lovely tune. It's Bread. I hope you enjoy it.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Bread.
Bread.